Right, let's discuss all things photography related.
Yeah, let's do it. Is that why we're here?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think it's the only reason we're here.
It's a podcast and...
Yeah, I think that's the plan, isn't it? Make it a
regular
podcast
vlog.
And something you can listen to on the way to work. And it's an idea that Paul and I had, isn't it? When we collaborated together on our YouTube channels.
I think we came up with a...
What happened was, I don't know if you remember, but we filmed, or I set up the GoPro and a camera in your van. And we sat down probably for about half an hour.
We didn't use it, did we?
No, we sat down for about half an hour and just chatted lots of different subjects. And then I've still got the footage. I should probably put it out at some point. But it's just the two of us having a conversation in his van. And then I realised afterwards that we'd actually talked for about half an hour. So when I came to edit the vlog together, I was thinking, I can't put this in. It's like, it's too long. No one's going to watch this entire vlog if there's a half an hour talk in the middle of it, but I thought it would be perfect for a podcast.
Absolutely. I think the first 5 minutes was rather awkward, and then we started
we settled into it pretty quickly, didn't we? I just put a sort of hyperlapse, time-lapse bit of us chatting, and I think that's when we sort of thought about getting you involved as well. And
we said, who else could we get, because the two of us talking, it might be
I feel like an outsider now.
I think it's the glue that binds us together.
Absolutely. I think we mentioned three or four more other people first and then got to you.
We went through everybody in contact. Only me, there's Muggins. Yeah, that's fine. Right. Well,
should we introduce ourselves, though?
People
have never heard of us before.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
I'm reading it now. It looks like I'm...
You see, he's not ad-libbing. Paul.
Gary.
And I'm Adam. From First Man Photography.
Now, you may have seen a few of us in the past because we do vlog.
Yeah.
But this isn't necessarily talking about vlogging. It's more to do with...
No, I suppose we all vlog quite regularly. And I suppose the reason why we're doing this now is because we probably get asked lots of questions. I know I get asked lots of questions. I'm sure you certainly do. And there are the questions that it's very difficult for you to cover in one go on a standard vlog.
Yeah.
Because if you head into Wales to photograph some waterfalls and lakes and so on and so forth, the last thing you then want to do is start discussing about gear that people think you should use or shouldn't use when you're out photographing lakes and streams and waterfalls.
When you get comments and things on the videos or on Instagram or anywhere on social media, I will generally try and give an answer. I like to answer as much as I possibly can. But in a paragraph... in a comment, it might be a much deeper subject than that.
Mm. Absolutely.
And just to try and give a brief explanation of it, you try your best, but it's not always, there's more to be said. Especially if it's an interesting topic.
I think the other thing that we mentioned off camera is sometimes you don't want to be too controversial when it's your own channel, whereas with three guys sitting around talking, we can discuss every view. And there'll be a balanced view.
Especially because the chances are that we'll all have different opinions and different views. I think it's a great idea. Right, so let's try and construct it just ever so slightly. In other words, if I ask a question to the group and then we'll just basically run with it and see where it goes.
Sounds good.
I just so happened to mention gear earlier on. Let's start off with that one. I think that's a fairly decent one. People generally comment on, I don't think my photography will be very good because I only have a bridge camera. I only have a mirrorless camera, or I'm out and about with my iPhone, or I've got a 5D, but it's a 5D Mark II and it's not a 5D Mark IV, so therefore my pictures are more than likely going to be rubbish. So let's talk about that then. And the reason why I want to bring that up, because I watched a video just recently from Peter McKinnon, and it's basically what's in my bag. And there's an overhead view of... he's probably got more gear than the three of us have put together. And whilst that's great for Peter McKinnon, I also think it's very off-putting for somebody who just owns a basic camera with a basic lens, because they might feel a little bit inferior.
Yeah.
So let's just throw that out to the group.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I did a vlog about a year and a half ago. It was, do I need a good camera? And took an old 10-year-old Sony out to try and prove the point that it's not all about kit. So I think the fact that people get put off because they think they need a 4 grand camera is somewhat misleading.
You definitely don't.
No,
but
no, absolutely not.
On the other, hand, I think I like what Peter McKinnon does, but he's also not a landscape photographer, is he?
No,
like,
he's generalist, isn't he?
And he's also big enough now that he's got help. To he's got people going with him to carry some of his gear with him. Like when I'm doing it, like when we went up that mountain, we had sort of 20. We had 20 kilos each on our back, didn't we, pretty much?
And I had 19 kilos too much on my back.
So it's a lot to carry around. But so you're trying to, I mean, as landscape photographers, we're usually trying to keep our gear as light as possible. But as well, I think there seems to be kind of, I don't know if you feel it, but there seems to be kind of a sense sometimes. It's a bit, it can be a bit smarmy from some photographers saying, if you talk about gear, you're somehow less of an artist.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that's wrong because personally, I quite like talking about gear. I've done videos about what's in my camera bag, and I quite like talking about the gear because I'm capable of doing artwork and then also talking about gear. Do you know what I mean? I'm capable of more than one interest, and I quite like talking about it as well.
Yeah, I think though one of the reasons that gear talk can be what's the word? Vicious. Yeah, vicious is the word. Yeah, is that everybody else has got different gear who watch or who listen to podcasts, and then they subconsciously think you're having a go at them because you're talking about the piece of kit that you've got, and it's really not. It's a bit like golf. You buy a new driver and you want to talk about it. Don't necessarily mean it's better than anybody else's.
The level of emotion is stunning, isn't it?
It's huge. One of the main reasons why I don't talk about gear, I mean, I mentioned recently about my tripod, for example, and it got vicious, as you say. People saying, well, it's the best tripod ever and I don't know what you're talking about. And,
well, I'll tell you a little tale. When I first started vlogging about 18 months ago, I did a series on, it's not about the gear, I'm sure. We've all talked about this in the past. But basically, I bought all my gear on eBay for £150, which included my camera, my tripod, and so on and so forth. And it's an old Nikon camera, and I purposely bought a Nikon camera because I'm a Canon man through and through. So basically, just put myself out of my comfort zone.
You can't help that.
I then went to Malham to shoot The Lone Tree, and I started creating this video. And the guy came up to me and introduced himself as he just won the Landscape Photographer of the Year award. And when he saw my gear, then asked if he could offer me advice, assuming that I was completely clueless because of the gear I had on my, I was currently using.
Interesting.
And, I wasn't sure where to go with it because the guy was just being really nice, but naturally assumed I was completely clueless because of the gear I was using.
Interesting.
And So
what did you say then?
I actually told him that.
Did you say I'm Gary Goff?
do you know who I am?
Yeah. Do you know who I am?
No, because I'd only just started vlogging anyway, and basically I just explained, look, now I'm just doing a video to show people that you can actually take brilliant pictures with very, very standard gear. And I use the word standard, you know, very openly, if that makes sense. Because really, you just don't need that new gear. But you watch what happens when the Canon 5D Mark V rears its head.
Yeah.
Within 2 days, you know for a fact that, you know, there's going to be certain photographers out there that will own it and will be showing it off straight away.
I mean, I feel a bit of a hypocrite with that because I've just, I've had it a year now, but I've got the D850.
And that's a shame.
And other than now, the Z7, which is a mirrorless, which we'll talk about possibly later. I upgraded, but I upgraded for a specific reason. Because I'm going blind and need that live view, extra resolution. But does it shoot any better pictures than my Nikon D800E? No, it doesn't.
Maybe when I buy the Canon 5D Mark V, then I need to come up with a really nice excuse I need that camera.
It
took me months. It took me months to come up with that excuse.
I had a similar experience though with the video I did quite a long time ago now about talking about filters. I titled it something like bracketing versus ND grads because for a long time I've been bracketing and stopped using ND grads.
Yeah.
Because I think with level of detail that you get in a RAW file these days in the software.
Yeah,
you don't need
the
them.
Ending grads. You don't need them. And that and the point of my video was just that. I wasn't saying you shouldn't use ND grads, and no. I kind of said like you if you choose to use ND grads, that's cool. Totally cool with that because I know a lot of photographers that do.
Yeah.
But what I was getting at was as a beginner, if you see photographers and you get stood next to some photographer in the landscape somewhere and he's some kind of idiot and he's like looking at he's looking down his nose or he's looking down his Canon 5D Mark III as it might have been then with his filters on and he's looking at your like your iPhone or your little entry level DSLR, it makes people feel like these filters are what makes a landscape photographer.
It's inadequate, isn't it? It does.
And it's just not the case. And you get it on a lot of workshops that were happening. I haven't seen it as much recently, but a lot of workshops were pushing the purchase of Lee filters.
Yeah.
Whether they were working directly with the company, I don't know, but I was seeing that happening a lot. And that was why I made the video, because it was, you don't need them. It's just a fact. It isn't a necessity.
Yeah.
Whether you choose to or not, because you want to get as much as right in camera as possible, that's fine. But
you mean filters per se, not Lee filters. You mean
no, you yeah, just ND gradient filters specifically.
Yeah.
But in the video, the lighting situation I had wasn't ideal for the filters, basically.
Yeah.
But that day, I had childcare issues, so I needed to be home at about 1 o'clock. So it was pretty much in the middle of the day that I was taking these pictures and the lighting just wasn't right. I said this on the video, but then I still get a load of comments saying,
yeah,
this is not right for filters.
Yeah,
got a load of grief over it. The video has... I would have sort of taken the video down, but it's done so well. But I get so many, like, negative... I get a lot of new subscribers who sort of understand the point I was making.
Yeah.
But then I get a lot of like abusive negative comments.
Don't you think it's more about the people who've only been doing it a few months that may be more negative than the people who've been doing it for years and years and years?
Possibly.
I mean, it's the old adage of you've got to shoot sunsets and you've got to shoot sunrises to get the best possible light. Well, that actually came from a guy 20 years ago that said that you needed to shoot at sunrise and sunset for the golden hour, and all his images were manipulated to create that golden hour type of shot. Right. So, you know, it filters help, don't they? But do you need a set of filters to be a landscape photographer?
I know exactly what you're saying. I wouldn't be without my filters, and I always use my filters, but it's not a necessary purchase. But what I would say was, if you are going to buy filters, don't necessarily look at buying Lee filters because you see other photographers with Lee filters, they're 5-6 times the price that you can pay for perfectly adequate filters that'll do a perfectly similar job.
Some of the new ones from the cheaper brands,
they're
brilliant.
Yeah,
they've got so much better.
Is it high tech?
I use Kood Pro ones, KOOD, I think. Kood Pro ones, and they're about £25 for the same £200 filter that you'll buy from Lee, and they do exactly the same job. They're absolutely perfect, and I swear by them, and they're scratched and all sorts, and I still use them, and they're just wonderful. And when people ask me, I always recommend that you just buy the Kood ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if money's no object, fine, buy the Lee ones. But, you know, there are some pitfalls in buying glass over plastic, you know, and vice versa, of course. Yeah. I'm not saying don't buy Lee, only buy Kood. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is it's not necessarily, you know, I take perfectly adequate images and I just use plastic ND grads and they work a treat.
Something you just brought up, though, is post-production and Lightroom. The ND grad system on there is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And people say, well, you want to get the best image you can possibly can in camera. Yeah. And that comes from film days, doesn't it? You've got to make sure that you get everything perfectly right. Well, now you don't necessarily have to.
Have you seen the new thing that they've got now?
I saw it on your video.
Selective masking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That you can do. So you drag the gradient down and then there's a little slider and you create like a luminance mask. So it's particularly good for mountains, where you've got mountains peaking above the horizon. And if you use the physical filter or just the gradient as it was, that's getting darkened, isn't it?
By
the filter. But now in Lightroom, there's like this luminance. If you do it,
yeah, I saw it.
Can't remember the name of it now. I should have a look on here. But you just drag the gradient down, then drag a little slider, and it just changes the luminance. It's brilliant. I've used it on almost every single time.
I haven't seen it. I'm not a Lightroom user. I don't use Lightroom.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Have you got something against it?
Yeah. Don't use Lightroom. I don't understand why anybody would use Lightroom, but I'm old school. So old school was basically you bought Lightroom if you couldn't afford Photoshop, and that's just a fact.
A bit like a Porsche Boxster.
Yeah, no, it's true. I don't have anything against Lightroom because as part of Photoshop, you get ACR, Adobe Camera Raw, and basically it's exactly the same engine as Lightroom. So nowadays, it's down to personal preference. But obviously going back a long time, especially in the early days of Photoshop was so expensive that if you couldn't afford or couldn't justify spending that amount of money on Photoshop, then you would simply buy the cut-down version, which is Lightroom, which didn't offer you everything.
Didn't everyone just pirate it?
You pirated it.
Not saying a word.
I have never pirated any software, ever.
Not
ever.
In the last 25 years, I've not, because I've been using Apple, and you can't pirate Apple software.
Yeah. But no, it...
Well, how do you catalogue your images, then, if you're not using...
Bridge.
Right, okay.
Bridge comes with Photoshop.
Isn't that another part of the workflow?
It's exactly the same workflow. The only difference is Bridge works in conjunction with Photoshop, so I can give you a list of the reasons why you shouldn't use Lightroom, and one of them is the automated process. If you use Bridge works in association with ACR, in association with Photoshop, so if you want to use actions, for instance, and you can use them through Bridge into Photoshop, and there's so much that you could do. You don't need to import anything, you don't need to export anything, and it's so, so simple to use. But I've always used it that way.
What do you mean you don't need to export anything?
Well, if you want to work with pictures in Lightroom, you have to import them.
Into the catalogue, yeah.
Into the catalogue.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't exist with Bridge. You open Bridge up and point Bridge to where your pictures are. Your pictures can be anywhere. Yes, you could catalogue them if you wish, but I've got my own catalogue system in my own, or on my own hard drive, or my own external hard drives. But I don't want this to come across that I'm doing it right and you're doing it wrong. We all have different ways of working.
I think it's different workflows, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's what you're used to. I mean, what I find nowadays, though, is with the regurgitation of nonsense on YouTube, and we're probably all guilty of it somewhere along the line, is that when one person says...
creating nonsense? Is that
but when one person says... I'll give you another example with tripods, for instance. But when one person says, I use Lightroom, then other people watching the video naturally assume, okay, well, that's obviously the way forward. And again, I don't have a problem with it. Everything you do in Lightroom, you could do in ACR, which is part of Photoshop. The only difference is that what you tend to find is, and I've not asked you this question, but I almost guarantee you do this. You'll do part of your workflow in Lightroom and then finish it off in Photoshop. Because...
Sometimes, but very rarely.
Increasingly less so, though. Yeah. That's the thing, is that Lightroom has started to cannibalise a lot of what Photoshop does anyway.
Absolutely.
So, and you know why they're doing that, don't you? Because now it's a complete package where you pay for it.
Yeah, so you get both now.
That's
for
correct.
10 quid a month, don't you?
But at one time, Lightroom was a cut-down version of Photoshop. So,
true, yeah.
Yeah, so what they weren't offering you the things like when you can remove dust and spots in your... But now, of course, you can, and it's actually very good.
Yeah.
It's very good in ACR, and I know Lightroom does the same thing because they use the same engine. So,
yeah.
But the one complaint I would have about Lightroom is it's slow.
Yeah.
It needs it, as far as I understand from the internet land, it needs rewriting from the ground up. Because if you look at Photoshop, particularly on mobile devices, it's so fast.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start mucking around with Lightroom, it's a nightmare.
Mm.
And I've got a decent computer at home, and it's not. It's just so slow.
Yeah.
And that's the main downside of it for me. But I mean, I tried Capture One as well recently.
Yeah, I saw that.
People, one of the things people are saying is that more gear-related stuff, based on not much fact by the look of it, was that they were saying that Lightroom cannot process Fuji X series pictures.
Yeah.
And that was not my experience.
No.
Like I did it on the video, I did it side by side.
Mm.
And once I ensured that the sharpening was the same and stuff... it looked exactly the same.
I think that was in the past, because yeah. I took a lad out and he had a Fuji camera and we tried to edit them, his raw files in Lightroom,
yeah.
and it was really difficult.
Yeah.
But they've come a long way since. And as you say, the video that you did, you didn't have any problem with workflow.
No.
But, I mean, I think what you were talking about is Photoshop. I think it's what you started out with. I mean, for me personally, I was one of the last people. I was dragging and screaming into the digital world. I was shooting film up until relatively recently. And I always was the proponent that, well, you're cheating a little bit when you go to shoot digital photography. And Lightroom was appalling. I'm talking 10 years ago. And Photoshop was too complicated for the likes of myself. And then things have moved on, and when I used Lightroom and saw how easy it was and how I could get it what I saw when I was taking the shot and reproduce it easily and relatively simply, even though it's slow, it transformed it for me. And that's when I made the jump from film to digital.
Mm-hmm. So with Bridge and Photoshop, if you're processing a wedding and you've got however many 200, 300 pictures to edit, can you copy and paste settings? So say if you're in the church, you've got very similar lighting conditions.
Yes.
You're using the same
yes.
settings pretty much.
Yes. When I post-process my images, I post-process 30 images at one go. But by using Actions and going through Bridge, I can then make simple conversions to 500 images with one click of a button.
Oh, okay. So that's, yes, yeah. that's what I'm doing in Lightroom.
But that's the level of automation. But I do lots of training and lots of group training. And when I sit down and introduce myself on a Monday morning on a 3-day course, and I tell people I don't use Lightroom, and there's almost like there's a ghast in the room and I can sense it.
Yeah.
But I tell people, look, I'll show you my way of working, my workflow. If you think you can put that into Lightroom, or you believe what you do in Lightroom is quicker than what I do, then let's have that discussion. And nobody has ever had that discussion with me, ever.
I'd be interested to see your workflow. I've got to say, it's different to mine. I do everything in Lightroom.
So do I.
Until the point where I take an image into Photoshop to... I don't even know what I do in Photoshop now. If there's a particular extra bit of cloning that I might do,
clean.
But I don't even do that anymore.
Yeah,
like, basically it's clean images.
I think the clone tool works really well in Photoshop compared to Lightroom. I do.
Oh, the cloning, the clone stamp does. Yeah,
absolutely, yeah, tons better. But the thing is,
what are you clone stamping though?
I don't. I don't. I know other people do, and they've showed it on video, but it's not something I do. You know, spot removal and removing the old twig in water or something like that I'll use.
I'm shocking at the amount of cloning I do for my landscapes.
Yeah.
That has to be a separate discussion.
Absolutely.
But quite literally, this is
there's nothing wrong with it.
If this house is here but doesn't sit in the rule of thirds,
I'll move it
to there.
Yeah.
I don't care.
And you know
because
why?
Because I make pictures for me.
You know why I don't? There's only one reason why I don't, and that's because I can't. That's the thing, because I'm not good enough with Photoshop to do it to make it look normal.
Oh, right, okay.
I'd end up looking like...
But I'm also not saying that you should do that.
No.
That has to be standard practice. I'm saying that's just a personal thing.
Absolutely, and that's really honest of you.
Sometimes I do, yeah. But I mean, I suppose at the end of the day, why are we taking pictures? We're taking pictures because I want to come away with a good body of work. I want to go out, spend all day taking pictures and come away with at least a couple of pictures that I'm really proud of.
Absolutely.
And if that means me manipulating images, I'm not taking pictures for the news.
No.
It's not documentary style photography.
Do you find a difference, though, between the pictures that you're taking for yourself and what you'll do with wedding photography pictures?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I mean, the thing is...
It is more documentary style.
It's not something that we mentioned, but a good body of your work besides your workshops is you do weddings.
Absolutely,
and those pictures have to be spot on, and they have to be dead right. And you've got your workflow that you've been using for many, many years, and it's comfortable for you, and you know you're going to get good pictures. But you quite rightly said, if we're going out for landscape photography, we're doing it really for ourselves. For personal enjoyment. And, you know, if you want to put a kangaroo in your picture... It's up to you.
Well, that's why I started vlogging, is really to get myself out of the studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly not to meet nice guys like you.
Where are they?
But let's not detract from the original question. So the original question we asked about what was the gear.
I think it's a great conversation that though. So, I really enjoyed that. Yeah. Photoshop versus Lightroom, maybe for another vlog or podcast.
Put you right on the spot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just finish the question then. And if you were to, let's say for instance, if you were on a budget, what would you buy? What's the most essential tools? Without stating the obvious, it's as good a camera, I suppose, as you're willing to spend money on.
I personally think it's easy. People are talking about medium format. They're talking about mirrorless. They're talking about the latest camera. I'd go for glass. That's the thing for me, is if you can invest in good glass, yep, and a relatively decent body. You know, let's say, what's the difference? Are you going to buy the new 5D Mark V when it comes out, or are you going to buy a 5D Mark III and some good glass for that 5D Mark III?
Yeah.
Buy the good glass, because the camera body ain't going to make that much difference.
One of the problems you have in internet land, though, is if you say good glass,
yeah,
you're implying that there's bad glass.
Yes, you are. And you are.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example, because I've got, for my vlogging camera, which is a camera I hold up in the air and point at myself in the middle of nowhere, It's a Canon 800D, right? So it's brilliant for video because of the Canon dual-pixel autofocus, which literally never misses.
It blows everything out of the water, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. It's you can get that camera for under £500 now, used. It's good for landscapes as well, because when I reviewed it initially, I shot some landscapes with it, and it was great.
Which camera is this?
Canon 800D.
800D.
Yeah, so it's sort of entry-level Canon DSLR.
Yeah.
For the vlogging though, because when I'm holding the camera up, I want to have as wide as angle as possible. I've got the 10 to 18 millimeter lens attached to it. Now I reviewed that, and it is a dreadful lens. It's one of the worst lenses I've ever used. And this is the point that some people they can't seem to handle it. Is that I'm saying to people, this is a terrible lens.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, I use it every week.
Yeah.
Like because it's pretty much, because it's stabilized as well, it's pretty much the only lens that does what I want it to do, which I guess makes it a little bit good, but the quality of it is terrible.
Yeah.
Like the distortion's terrible, like the image sharpness is terrible, but it costs like £70 or something. So yeah. What can you expect? And I've dropped it a number of times as well. But it's just that sort of contrast.
It's almost like a nifty 50, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And it's like it's.
So what's your point, Adam?
Yeah. Well, it basically is that like you can get good shots with that.
That distortion is just your face, you know that.
Yeah. Maybe if that's why I try to keep myself in the middle of the frame. Yeah. But it's the point is what I was saying about there is bad glass around. That's kind of what I'm saying. Yeah. And you're right. Like if you attach a £1,500 lens to that Canon 800D, the difference between that you're going to get a world of difference there.
Yeah.
From using that 10 to 18 millimeter. But if you attach that, not that you can, but if you attach that 10 to 18 millimeter to a Canon 5D Mark IV, you're going to get better pictures with the worse camera with a better lens than the good camera with a cheaper lens. You know,
yeah.
That's kind of my
point. I agree.
But it's still distorted. You can't get but away from
it. It will be, but I mean, the distortion is...
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
The distortion is it's not so bad that you can't take a good picture of it in the right hand.
It goes back to photography snobbery, though, doesn't it? Because, like, third-party lenses now, Tamron, do some awesome lenses that are excellent and have been proven to be excellent. Yeah. But people still say, well, if you've got a Nikon, buy Nikon, and if you've got a Canon, get Canon.
I've been using the Tamron 24-70 for years. Yeah. It's great. I've got no reason to replace it at the moment. I bought it initially because it had image stabilization, which I wanted for the video stuff. But
I mean, what's your opinion? I mean, I'm mentioning that if you're going to spend your money and you're going from that basic step and you want to step up, I'm saying that glass is a good thing to invest your money in. But it is a law of diminishing returns, isn't it? You know, if you look at a £5,000 camera and you look at a £500 camera, there's not going to be that much difference when you look at it on a wall, for example.
It's absolutely diminishing returns, isn't it? I mean, absolutely. Fuji have just sent me this. It's the
one Fuji everyone's talking about.
Yeah, GFX 50R. Have a look at it. I mean, it's a bit of a brick, but it's light. I weighed it yesterday, and it with that lens on, which is 20, heavy. It's like 20 equivalent of 24 to 50 and 35 millimeter format.
Right.
That is lighter than my Canon 5D Mark IV with a 24-70 on it.
Yeah.
So it's quite chunky, but it's not actually as heavy as it looks. It's undoubtedly diminishing returns.
Yeah.
That is now a £4,000 camera.
Well, it's £4,000 camera. That's medium, not including the glass.
No.
You're looking 10, 12 grand.
They were doing a deal recently. But, I mean, cost aside, and yes, it is obviously very expensive. I can't afford to buy it. But the image quality is superb.
It feels nice in hand, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the image quality is amazing. And I think there's been a lot of talk recently about, do you actually need that level of image quality, even if you're blowing pictures up big?
Yeah. I mentioned it on the vlog. I mean, I don't know what you think from your background, but when you put a picture up and it's on the side of a bus or it's on a wall and it's huge, if you go very up close to it, it's blurred. It's not until you stand 15 or 20 feet away from it. So where does this image quality thing come from? Does it come from people printing prints that are smaller? Does it come from people looking at them in a book? Or does it come from people pixel peeping, which I've never understood anyway, and going into the far corner of an image to see whether or not it's pin sharp? The other argument is, does your image have to be pin sharp from front to back when your natural eye doesn't work that way? So I don't know what you guys
think. Because when you mentioned that the other day, I got thinking about it. And do you need this kind of camera? You definitely don't. Like, I mean, absolutely you don't. But now that it's within the realm of a Canon 5D Mark IV, Mark V, when that comes out, and the D at 50 in terms of cost.
That's the body, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, the lenses aren't that much more than the good Canon.
They're not.
It's medium format. It's like
medium format.
Yeah, they're not. But you're going to have to go over. You know, very few people are just going to go out and spend 12 grand.
Yeah, absolutely.
So people are going to have to sell the Canon kit or the Nikon.
Absolutely, I agree. And like I say, you don't need it. But I think that if you, one of the things I was thinking, why would I want this camera? That's kind of what I was thinking about. And what I was thinking is that, yes, the majority of the time, you're not going to get that benefit of that medium format sensor.
Yeah.
However, there's two things. Number one, I feel like I'd be future-proofing a little bit. So if I went out and, say I go out and take a landscape photograph with this image, if in 10 years' time, we're all sat there staring at 60-inch 12K TVs, for example, That image will look better coming from this camera on that screen,
of course,
as it would from my current Canon 5D Mark IV.
So yeah.
There's a little bit of that, which is not, again, not necessary, but it's something I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
And then also, if particularly because I'm recently been trying to go to as many landscape photography exhibitions as possible just to see other people's work, see it up close printed. If you got a really big print and it's with this camera as opposed to my Canon 5D Mark IV, and it's really big, yes, you're going to appreciate it stood a bit further back to see the whole image. You're not going to see the difference. But I like getting close in, particularly when it's printed. Not, I don't pixel peep on the screen.
No.
But when it's printed, I like to get in really close. Like, as if you were in an art gallery with some paintings and portraits and stuff. You see people studying it really closely.
They do, but if you look at, that's a really good analogy, is paints and oil painting. If you go right up close to an image, you'll see all the brush strokes, and you won't see the subtleness of what the artist was trying to achieve. And that's why they're brilliant, because they're sat here when they're doing the painting, but they design it, and so you stood 6 feet away to actually make it look what it should look like.
Yeah, but I think that's having, there's two things there, isn't there? Like, you can see that you appreciate it from a bit further away, but you can also get in close and really appreciate those brush
strokes. Of course you can. Of course you can.
Particularly with some of the sort of more famous artists, some of their brushwork is incredible. But, and I think that I like that with photography as well, is that you can get into a gallery, appreciate the image as it's meant to be seen, get in close, not just see the quality of the image itself up close, like, especially if you've got like quite a detailed foreground or an interesting building in the background, you can get up close and have a look at that. But also then looking at the quality of the print, the quality of the paper, I like all of that that builds my whole enjoyment.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So it's just along that sort of lines that I think this camera could benefit me. I'm not even certain it could, but like that's.
I mean, if you won the lottery tomorrow and money was no object, would you buy the camera?
I probably would buy that one over even over a Hasselblad or something like that, because it's The form factor I quite like. It's not perfect, but if I was just doing landscape photography with it, it's just sat on the tripod half the time. The screen's quite nice. The lenses are all good. So yeah, I probably would.
And what overall percentage benefit would you say you got over that compared to, for say, Canon Mark D 5D?
Oh, small. Yeah. I wouldn't like to put a number on it, but yeah. it's definitely, you're talking small margins, yeah. Definitely, but sometimes you want the small margins.
Absolutely.
I suppose ultimately you need to work out what the goal is of owning a camera. In other words, if printing, I nobody advocates printing more than me, you know, it's the best form of backing up a picture is to print it. And they look so much nicer in print than they do on a screen as well. But if you're going to print and then print a 50-inch image, and that's what you want to do, then yeah, certainly go down the medium format route. But if all you ever do is print 16 by 12-inch pictures, which is a really nice size and a nice frame, so all of a sudden you've got that around your house. And if you think about it, that's actually a very big picture in somebody's house. Then you wouldn't see the benefit of that over your 5D, for instance, or your 850 on the Nikon. But would I buy one? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, because when I had to go the...
How much is it, by the way? Do you know?
The camera's 4,000. I'm not sure on the lenses. They were doing a deal when it first came out to get...
Trinity lenses and the body is going to be between 10 and 12.
Yeah, it is for all three. But when the 50S, I had to go that, and said that it was one of the best landscape photography cameras I've ever used. Someone sort of said to me, like, well, because I was thinking about what camera I'm going to get next, and someone said to me, how do you think getting this camera could benefit your business, Adam?
Mm.
Put my name at the end.
That's good.
And I don't think that's the point. Yeah. It's not, yes, there is a business side to what I do, but most of the time, the sort of thing that drives me is my creativity and artistic side. That's what drives my decision. I mean, there is obviously business decisions being made as well. But if it was just a business decision, the Canon 5D Mark IV is fine.
Yeah.
But it's not about that. It's about partly what I want as well. Do you know? Like, it's
absolutely. Yeah, we can all have a wish list, can't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's about personal choice. I mean, I know it's a cliche that we say the camera is a tool, but it's the mirrorless versus DSLR debate, which we can also talk about. But I prefer a DSLR because I like to look through the viewfinder when I'm composing the shots, and I hate EVF. And I don't like the fiddly buttons on some of the mirrorless cameras, particularly Sony. That don't mean Sony's bad. It just means that I prefer the setup, maybe because I'm getting old, of a DSLR. And as long as that's right for me, and I like the feel of the camera and the camera works well in my workflow, then my priority isn't image quality as such. But then again, you might say I'm a hypocrite because I've got a D850, and other than medium format cameras, it's one of the best on the market at the moment for image quality.
Yeah,
but I far prefer the dynamic range, to be honest. That's more important to me than
I really than, don't mind shooting mirrorless for landscapes, because the screens are so good now and they provide so much information that helps you with exposure that it's fine. I mean, I do still compose through the viewfinder, but for a wedding I don't like EVFs.
You mentioned that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like looking through the viewfinder.
That's my only bugbear with them, if I'm perfectly honest, with the mirrorless. That's my only bugbear.
I've tried using LiveView just totally for landscape photography shots, and my composition is off compared to me looking through.
I only use LiveView.
Yeah.
I only use LiveView for landscape.
Which is amazing because advocate all that when you teach. You advocate to everybody, you look through the viewfinder, but that's different composing for a wedding, presume. So your landscapes.
Yeah, absolutely, because, well, landscapes, we're just lazy, aren't we?
Yeah.
Everything is slow motion, isn't it? You take your time.
I can understand it, but...
I don't know, some of my videos have been pretty frantic.
You know, my concern is when you're just using LiveView, and you might shoot me down, is that you're going to get similar shots. So what I mean is you've got a tripod, maybe 5.5, 6 foot, depending on how tall you are, and you're looking at the view, and you get it right, and you get your rules of thirds right, if that's how you want to shoot. And I like to be creative with my shots, and that's not saying that you're not, and not saying that everybody everybody else who uses live view isn't, but I like to be creative, so I'll try sometimes to get down low or change the composition a little bit. And sometimes you get down low, and I know it's a pain to get down there, and you might say, well, live view is easier to look at, but I actually get down and actually look at the shot, and I can get the composition that way.
Are you prone, somewhere in the middle of the Lake District?
Yeah, I have been. You know, watch one of the vlogs when I did the windmills. I was prone and got covered in cow poo.
I do. I'm terrible. Everything I do is kneeling down. I can't. Yeah. You see these people that crouch down when they're taking pictures. I can't. I've got to kneel down.
Yeah.
I live in my waterproof pants for that very reason.
Is that because you're artificial hip?
No, because I'm old and fat. Getting down isn't a problem. It's getting back up.
Absolutely.
I think that's part of the reason I've been trying to get fit recently, and I've lost a bit of weight because I think if I was.
That's harsh, Gary. You're looking really fit, Adam.
That's rich coming from me.
I think if I hadn't done anything, I would have had probably about another 2 or 3 years of crouching down before I couldn't get back up again.
You're only a whippersnapper.
Yeah, exactly. I want to look a whippersnapper as well. don't want to add the camera adds pounds anyway, doesn't it?
It does, absolutely. It adds at least 4 stone to me.
Waist.
Yeah.
It must just be, the lens.
And chins.
It's all right if you're in control of the edit. It's all right, isn't it?
Absolutely.
As long as I'm looking square on at the camera.
Like. Oh, God, the number of times I've looked at it and thought, God, I can't put that out.
You do realise when I asked the question about what gear you would use, right, for the very basics, within a minute, we're talking about Hasselblad cameras.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about your medium format camera that cost £12,000.
But isn't that what photographers will do if they get together? But I think you're right. I think if we could steer it a little bit back towards if somebody's going out and beginning photography.
So basically, you're worthless as a photographer unless you're spending £15,000.
We work that out. We can go home.
That's it.
Let's go to the pub. Nice.
I think it's nice, personally, the way I make gear decisions a lot of the time is I like to have a comparison against what's the best. What is the absolute best that's available?
Yeah.
Same with cars. So I know that a Lamborghini might be I don't know that much about cars anymore, but say a Lamborghini is the best car you can possibly buy in terms of what I want. I want to know how does my car compare to a Lamborghini?
Yeah.
Now, I know I'm never going to have a Lamborghini, but what little portion of what that does my car then do?
Yeah.
And that gives me just a level of context. And I'm the same with cameras.
It's a classic, though. Cortina Mark III. It's quite a classic now, though, Adam.
Cortina Mark III, my God. Yeah. You'll show your age.
We'll give him a jump later on and get a start.
Equivalent XR3i when I was a kid.
I've had to start driving my wife's battered old C-Max around.
Yeah.
Because I'm running out of miles on my Fiesta.
Oh, of lease car.
Yeah. It's going back in July, but I've run out of miles because I've been all...
Need a balaclava.
Some sort of insurance claim.
Tripod. Let's talk about tripods then, because...
Yeah, you see, this...
I would say...
I got slated. Not slated. I've got to say that my followers are really, really nice to me, but a few people did disagree with the vlog when I put it out about the Gitzo and what I didn't like. They disagreed with the fact that I said that the build quality wasn't so good. Now, what I really should have said on the video, which I didn't make very clear, is if I'm paying £500 for a tripod, I want it to be build quality to be absolutely the best.
Wasn't the piece
fell off it.
Yes.
Yeah, ripped off and fell off it.
Fair point.
Yeah, you know, £500 and something falls off it, and it was within about 4 weeks it came off. And then the rest of it was down to personal choice for the tripod legs themselves, because I've come to the conclusion that I prefer the click lock to the twist lock. And we can argue the point, twist lock, quick lock, it doesn't really matter, does it?
That's just a fact, they're not as good.
No. Well, what, twist locks are not
twist good. Locks, yeah.
Yeah, I agree, because maybe it's because I'm a bit stupid, but I prefer when it's clicked, I know it's locked. But the big one for me, and I didn't bring it across again on video, was that the ball head used to sell for £350, and lots of people have gone out and bought it, and within 3 months of using it, it started to stick, and somebody said to me, well, you just get it serviced. Well, you shouldn't have to for a £350 ball head. Mm. And then somebody else said, well, they actually stopped making those because they knew they didn't work well. Well, did they offer everybody a refund that bought it and offered them the new one? And so I went for a company that is not in the reputation class, which is Benro, for a ball head, and it's been absolutely brilliant. And the thing is Benro versus Gitzo, there's a massive price difference. And trying to tell people, you don't necessarily have to spend the most money to get the best kit.
Mm. You don't, but I do believe you need a sturdy tripod.
You do.
as an investment. It doesn't have to be a Gitzo. It can be a cheap brand, but it needs to be very sturdy.
Yeah.
But again, going back to this regurgitated nonsense that I find so often on YouTube,
yeah,
everybody has a ball head.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I don't use the ball head. I try to use the ball head, and it's just it just does my head in all the time. I get set up, and all I want to do is simply tilt it left to right, right to left, and all of a sudden you undo it, and it sneaks forward. Now I've got to pick it back up again. Now I've got to, and it's so annoying.
A lot of clients that I have on tours and workshops, though, have got the three axis heads, which I think are great. If you're just doing landscape photography, they're absolutely brilliant. I use a ball head because it's slightly smaller and less chunky.
But you don't use an L bracket, do you?
No.
Everybody owns an L bracket.
I know,
now.
You got slated for it.
I had
something to do with the angles aren't quite right.
I was in Arran last week, and I did a vertical shot of this stream going up to one of the mountains in the background, and I had it on the vertical, and I was stood there shooting the image, and then I was about to talk through some of it, and I thought, I know for a fact I'm going to get at least three or four comments about why don't you use an L bracket.
And the
real reason is because I just don't need it. I've managed forever without an L bracket,
yes,
so I'm not that bothered. I'll just do that with the camera.
Do what? Because that looked really complicated.
Yeah, it's like
it's hard work.
Oh, I see, right.
A 90 degree tilt.
Oh, yeah, wow. But you don't get the angles right. That's the thing, Adam.
For a panorama, yeah. But then the main reason is because I don't want an L bracket attached to my camera all the time, and I'm too lazy to continually be putting it on and off. But also, I use various different tripods and various different cameras for video work, and I'm always putting different cameras on different tripods. So I use the Manfrotto RC2 quick release system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just every camera fits on every tripod that I've got.
Yeah.
And so I'm not faffing about with different ball heads and different. They're all
just speeds up your workflow.
Yeah, exactly that. And it's a long winded answer.
Yeah.
For a YouTube comment, but that's
yeah.
But that's a good example, I think, of what you're talking about, where YouTube land sort of particularly has taught everybody that you need an L bracket.
Yeah, I think it's forum land, and then YouTube land has become the next forum.
Maybe.
And as you say, they'll see what somebody else is shooting, and then they think you've got to go and buy it. We know it with vlogging. You know, we were talking about it off camera. Is somebody starts to use one type of vlogging kit, and then suddenly within 3 or 4 weeks, everybody's using it, and it becomes the norm. And you know, somebody started to use a drone originally, and then everybody's flying drones. You know, it's the same thing with photography, isn't it? We're all guilty of it.
I used to.
Yeah, until you crashed them both. lost them.
Till I lost two in 12 months.
Yeah.
And, I asked last night if I could have another one, by the way, and she said no.
You can buy mine off me.
Strange. What have you got?
Mavic 2.
Oh, yeah.
No, not Mavic 2, Mavic Pro.
Do you not like it?
I can't afford a Mavic
2.
No, it's not that. It's just the hassle of flying it. And
how much
are
you selling
for? I don't know. I'll talk about
it
later.
Let's get out of there now.
Yeah. But I've just got to the point with vlogging that I want to be go back to basics and sitting there and faffing around with the drone when I want to enjoy my landscape photography is doing me head in. So
I miss my drone.
Yeah,
yeah, I love it. I've got to
miss my drone.
I don't know if people who are watching other countries have seen the hoo-ha with Gatwick and everything else. I can see that the legislation is going to come in that's going to make it notoriously appalling.
Legislation came in, didn't it? And we've all got to sign up to some sort of register.
It's coming in May, isn't it?
Yeah, but when I looked at the legislation,
completely pointless, isn't it?
It's nothing different.
No,
I can still operate within that legislation.
You can, but you've got to be careful because there's the argument, isn't there, that we're using it for commercial purposes because you're monetizing the video.
I had a look at that as well. Do you want some cold hard facts?
Yeah,
I had a look at the legislation and had a friend of mine look at it as well, who knows more about it than I do, and there is a specific section in there that mentions social media and benefiting from that social media through advertising.
Oh,
and that does not constitute commercial use.
Interesting.
Because what they're saying, what commercial use counts as, I mean, I'm saying this because I've read the legislation, but don't take it for fact. If you're going to fly your own drone, have a look at the legislation yourself. But there's a disclaimer there. But what counts as commercial is if you are specifically being paid to create that drone sure. footage,
right?
And we're not for a YouTube channel, so you don't need a commercial.
Yeah, the other argument is the bylaws, though, isn't there? Because national parks don't want you to fly drones, and then you fly them, and people get annoyed and say, "What are you flying that drone for?" Yeah. And I just can't be bothered with that hassle.
The thing is, it's a bit like street photography. The minute you stand in the street with a camera in your hand, people look at you in a very strange manner.
Yeah, no, that's nothing to do.
They do. Well, it's almost like labelling you. What's Gary, he doing with his camera? Gary, is he photographing my kids?
That's nothing to do with you holding a camera, mate.
No, but it's true, though, isn't it? The minute you're out there with a drone, people are looking at you. What's he spying at? What's
Absolutely,
he looking at?
And yeah.
It's just,
well, we had that on the top of 900 meters,
didn't we? That was funny.
We're flying it. Both he had his up as well.
Yeah.
And I had mine up.
If you both had them up, no wonder you were getting strange looks. talking about drones.
Second highest peak in the Lake District.
I got yelled at 900 meters.
Is that the one that took you 4 hours to climb up, Gary?
At least. I'll tell you what. No, there was only Adam and I there. And we were literally on top of the world. So Adam went that way to do some filming. I went that way to do some filming. Adam came back with a sheepish face and said, "I've just had a right bollocking off this woman." I'm like, "We're on top of the world. There's nobody here. There's nobody here daft enough." And apparently there's some woman that's trekked up on her own. She's doing a bit of wild camping and had a go at you, didn't she?
She did. I'd had a nice chat to her as well before that.
You're such a nice guy, Adam. I just don't know why she had a go at you. But, I would have understood it if it had been Gary, but you're too nice.
Yeah. I mean, I am quite considerate with the drone as well. Yeah. Like, you just get it up and fly it away. And you're not, like, it's,
That's another conversation for some another day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Drones.
I still got the shot.
So what were we talking about? Were we talking about tripods? Or we went off on a tangent?
Well, basically, you can't become a landscape photographer unless you own a medium format camera at £15,000 and a Gitzo
tripod.
With a ball head that costs £300, it's faulty.
I think 3 months. I think with tripods, I think you hit the nail on the head. You want something sturdy that is not going to move, with possibly the option of being able to hook something to it to stop it from moving in strong winds. Now, I must admit, I've taken that option off, Mike, because it creates a big pole that you can't get things down low, but that does help. And twist lock and clip lock, I think, are down to personal preference, aren't they, really?
Yeah. Maybe we need to start going out and doing a vlog with some, like, 10-year-old DSLR and a beanbag.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way.
Or what are they called? Jobbies? The gorilla pod things?
The old days.
Doesn't really matter. But I guess that opens up a whole new kettle of fish between the thing that you mentioned about YouTube and traditions, landscape photography. You can only get a good landscape photography image with a tripod. Now, that's just not the case. I mean, you did a video a few months back where you did use a tripod, but you were showing that you can get excellent results with highest ISO images, which look just as good to my untrained eye as shooting ISO 100 or ISO 64. So as long as you know your triangle, you're going to get good shots handheld, and they can be beneficial. I mean, Mark Littlejohn won Landscape Photographer of the Year. 90% of his work, and it's awesome, I think anyway, is handheld, and he gets brilliant shots. And I think, again, you don't want to be restricted by thinking, I've got to use a tripod 100% of the time.
No, absolutely not, but you must remember, the chances are, if you're going to go to the seaside, even on a bright, sunny day in the middle of summer, the chances are it's going to be windy.
Of course.
And if you then want to start adding your 6 or your 10 stop filters on there to extend that shutter speed, the chances are, if you haven't got a sturdy tripod, that's where you'll come unstuck.
I think you're right. I think where I enjoy using or not using a tripod is when I'm out in the woods, for example, because it doesn't really matter if I bring a little bit of noise into those pictures, because the woods actually or that higher ISO can enhance it. So, you know, it's horses for courses. What we're trying to say is there's no black and white rules, is there?
No. Yeah, I think it's with tripods, it's the same sort of thing. It's diminishing returns, isn't it? Because you can get a £15 aluminium tripod off Amazon, and you set it up, you could use it for years and you'd be quite happy. But then you spend the money on a, say, a £200 tripod, and it's hard to describe how better it is, but you start using it, then you're just like, right, I get it now.
Yeah.
And it's just extra convenience. It's the legs move more smoothly as they extend. There's lots of little, it's just lots and lots of little things, isn't it, that make up a better, more convenient experience.
I think you're right. I mean, I've got, I must have 5 or 6 15, 20 quid tripods in my attic, and they just don't cut the mustard.
Whereas, and they're made of plastic, aren't
absolutely.
They?
Absolutely.
But the heads are made of plastic.
Absolutely, and everything moves. But, you know, you spend a couple of hundred quid, and you know you're not going to have to buy another tripod unless you're exceedingly unlucky for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. I have mine in salt water and sand all the time, and it's never, I don't wash it.
Never like
either.
You
I don't rinse it off. It's never failed.
I always tell people with a lock that's a good sign of a good used tripod when it goes. Yeah. when you actually pull in the leg out with all the sand that's still
sand
in there.
Grinder.
The sand. Yeah, I'm terrible. I never clean any of my gear. It's absolutely shocking.
It's mark of a professional, isn't it? If you look at their gear, it's always battered. It's the amateurs that have spent thousands with no return that really look after the kit.
How long have we been talking now?
About 45 minutes.
Good chat, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we mentioned tripods, haven't we? We mentioned you don't necessarily need expensive filters or filters at all. And we mentioned camera bodies. We mentioned glass.
Yeah.
Is there anything we missed?
We could bring this first episode to a close, couldn't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
Did we have a name for this?
I don't think so. I think it's Paul, Gary, and Adam sat chatting.
We talked about photo nerds, didn't we, before? Is that because we want somewhere to send people, don't we, to download it?
Oh, absolutely.
To find it on YouTube. And
yeah, well, by the time people are watching this, we'll have a name anyway.
Yeah.
We'll know, won't they? They already know the outcome of this conversation.
Absolutely.
Should we come up with the option?
This is how organised we are. We don't even really know the name yet, do we?
But we want people to subscribe to the podcast.
We do.
And to the YouTube channel, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that'll be a start.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can find our individual channels through that as well, can't you?
I think also we mentioned, didn't we, off camera, that we are going to be asking people to put in the comments questions that they want answering.
I think so.
Various other things in the pipeline.
You should do that to camera, to
you
close.
So?
You should do that to camera.
Go on then, you're in the middle.
It'd be good to get some guests on as well at some point, wouldn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Who do you want to see? That's a question people could answer. Who do you want to see?
We won't answer that one.
Yeah.
Who do you want to see, Gary?
Yeah.
You've had them all here, haven't you? You've had them all here.
I'm not mentioning
anyone.
Do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get guests on here that are not related to YouTube.
Yeah, that would be good.
I know lots of really good photographers that don't have their own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I think people would find it quite fascinating to see their perspective of going out taking a picture or taking pictures. And they're not involved with filmmaking as well.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah. That would be good.
It's very
That would be good. Yeah.
Very, very different.
It just depends whether or not they want hundreds of quid to come, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not paying people.
No, we're not going to pay people. No.
But having said that, if anybody out there can think of anybody they'd like to see as a guest, if you have any questions that you'd like to ask the three of us, chances are that you're going to get different answers from, I don't know, we all shoot differently. We all have our own styles. Ask away. Ask in the comments below. But more importantly, like Adam said, like Paul said, please sub, and we'll try and make these as often as we possibly can.
Yeah, and thanks.
I've enjoyed that.
Yeah,
it's nice just to let your hair down, I think, and just have a general chat.
Absolutely.
And
so thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Cheers.
See you on the next one.
Absolutely. Peace.